Take your Bibles then, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, and chapter 5. Now, I can't wait till next Wednesday night. I really can't. It's to hear the men speak, but I'll tell you why, and he's not here tonight. But this last week, as a matter of fact, let's see, today's Wednesday, it was probably Thursday or Friday, maybe Friday of last week. Maybe a text message from Josh. And he said, would it be okay if, he said, I'm enjoying this. He said, I'm getting a lot out of it. He says, I may give it a try. Is that okay? And I said, absolutely, absolutely. So he was planning on doing it tonight. And I said, well, would it be okay if you waited till the next one? And that way he's not going to take my verse that I want, all right? But no, that's not why. But he says, yeah, I can do that. And so I appreciate those of you who've been a blessing to him and encouragement and encourage him to grow. I know the Mills have really been an encouragement to him. And isn't it exciting to watch that? Now, wouldn't it be neat if we had that going on in about every fourth row? Wouldn't it be neat? Yeah. And we say, listen, we need some more folks to do some discipling here. It's getting a little hectic, okay? Let's have some more. And we need to change the water in the baptistry. We got to do it again Wednesday night. So I guess we can leave the water in there for Wednesday night. So that sounds like wishful thinking. No, that's visionary thinking. Let's ask God. Now, if the church down the street does that, praise the Lord. Amen. That means those folks are going to heaven and obedient. But we can be a little jealous if we're not doing it. Let's say, wait a minute, we want to get in on that blessing too. And so I hope that you'll start working and thinking about how God can use you. How God can use you in one way or another. We're going to have different ways of going out. And we're going to have some that'll do different things, but we'll bring you up on that in the next week or so and let you know how it's going to come to pass. All right, Proverbs chapter 5. Looking forward to just spending some time in the Word. And let's start at the very beginning of the chapter. And I'm going to not go too far in the chapter, so I'll leave some room for others. I was tempted to go here and then jump over midway and then jump over to the last. But my jumping may jump right on what somebody else is planning on doing. So I'll try to behave with that. All right. So here we are, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. So if you'll look at it with me, please. The Bible says, my son. Now you remember back in chapter 1, the writer of this says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and all. And he goes on and he's going to address this to his son. So we see it again here. In chapter 5, my son, attend unto my, and you're going to notice a similar theme. There's been this theme kind of a number of times. Today I was teaching counseling, and that's what I'm teaching all this week. And there's a system of working with folks who have spiritual battles, especially mental battles. Perhaps they were abused and 25, 30, 40 years later, they're still, it's in their minds and all of that. And they've been told you can't get it out. And that's just not true. It can be cleansed. And it takes a certain pathway to do it, but it can be cleansed. To God be the glory. Amen. But then there's other people who have spiritual battles that maybe it's depression or spiritual battles. It's this or that. But the neat thing is this, is that God's Word provides everything we need for life and godliness. Amen? And by the way, that's what the Bible says of itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so when you see a repetition of things in the Word of God, then that means there's just a lot of applications to that. I may have used this illustration before. I probably have, but if I have, it's still true. And that is a number of years ago, I was reading it was back when they had newspapers, so it's been a little while ago. But I was reading a newspaper somewhere, wherever I was. I think it was there. Maybe it was on the internet. But nonetheless, I was reading about an account that happened in California, and there was a famous athlete. I believe I have told it here, but a famous athlete that was jogging down the road, just jogging down the road. How many of you remember that? You don't? Good, okay. So jogging down the road, And he's jogging just because he's an athlete. He's well known. Jogging down the road, and there, just a ways away, not very far away, there was a horrendous wreck. None of the personnel had gotten there, the emergency personnel, none of them. It had just happened. I don't know if he witnessed the wreck or he just came upon it while he was doing his jogging. Well, this fella, as he's jogging along, there was a lady who was trapped in the car. And I think the car was on fire. I forget what it was, but I think the car was on fire, and she couldn't get out of the door. Well, this guy would remind you of your pastor here. And so he's jogging along, and he probably had muscles coming out of his earlobes. I don't even remember who it was. It wasn't a Schwarzenegger. I don't remember who it was. But it was a pretty famous athlete. He walked up, or he jogged up to the car, saw what was going on. He got a hold of the door. Now, this may be a little bit advanced, but I believe this is an accurate statement. I believe he ripped the door completely off and laid it down, and then he just started jogging on. The only way we knew about it is people recognized him and told the authorities and so forth, and so it was a thing in the news. Now, here's why he was that way. He was that way because about 15 years earlier, he said, you know what, one of these days, I'm going to be jogging down the road, and you know what I bet's going to happen? I bet there's going to be a wreck. And you know what else? 15, maybe 20, it may take 21 years, but sooner or later there's going to be a wreck, and I'm going to be jogging out, and I'm going to be looking for wrecks. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work out with weights. I'm going to do all this so that when I come across that, I'm going to be able to do that and yank it off. Is that what he did? No. He did that for football purposes or whatever it was, be the strongest man in the world or whatever it is. He had worked out for completely different reasons, and yet, when the emergency arrived, he had the ability to do what was necessary to complete the task. In the book of Proverbs, you're going to see a consistency of terms. So let's look at it as we see Proverbs chapter 5. My son, attend unto my what? Okay, let's do it just a little bit more loud than that. My son, give attendance unto my what? Wisdom. Okay, very good. And bow thine ear to my understanding. Very good. That thou mayest regard what? Discretion. And that thy lips may keep what? Knowledge. Now, he's going to give a practical application why these are really important. And he's going to talk about the wayward woman and then the men and so forth. But before he gets to that, he mentions these four things. He talks about wisdom. He talks about knowledge. He talks about understanding. And he talks about discretion. Let's go back to chapter 1. Would you do that with me, please? Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. We were there just a moment ago. The son of David, king of Israel, to know, what's the word? Wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of what? To receive instruction and wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. To give subtility, I'll get it out, to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and what? Discretion. Here you have those same four qualities. Turn over one more chapter. We come to chapter 2. And he starts out, my son, receive my words. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou wilt incline thine ear unto what? And apply thine heart to what? Yea, if thou criest after what? And liftest up thy voice for what? If thou seekest her, in verse number 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and is that the word find? I can't see it. And find the knowledge of God. If you go on down to verse number 11, what's the first word? Discretion. Here you have those same four and a few more added to it. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And then he talks about the evil man. So there's an application there. So here you had it in chapter 1. You had it in chapter 2. Now let's look at chapter 3. Would you do that with me, please? Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth what? right? Wisdom. And the man that getteth what? Understanding. And you skip on down and you come to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. You come to verse number 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and what?
Discretion.
So here you have, and the men in the previous weeks as well as I, we've helped us to understand what is wisdom. It's the practical application of knowledge. And it's being able to discern not only what is good, but what is better, what is not only better, but what is best. And most importantly, what is God's will? Discretion is that discernment. As we travel the life's journeys through whatever the context is here, it's going to be talking about the wayward woman, and men are not wise if they follow that. And if we're not careful, we will ponder our ways. We'll think about our ways, but it won't hurt to go that way a little bit. And right after that, you're going to see in the text that it leads to destruction. But then you turn over a little bit further, and it's going to talk about the Lord pondereth our ways. So, if you and I, no matter where you work, or if you're retired, or in school, or whatever you're doing, if we come back in our thoughts, and our hearts, and our minds, and we just come to that place of emptiness, and we say, dear Lord, there's so much I don't know. Now, I referenced just a little bit ago, I teach counseling this week, and one of the things that I've done is to say, Lord, would you use me in helping these young people to know that the Word of God has the answers. Now, they believe that, and we've looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, where he's given us everything we need for life and godliness, and if we have that in our lives, we'll be partakers of the divine nature, we're going to escape the corruption of the world through lust, we're going to bear fruit, and we're never going to begin to fall, okay? Those are promises God gives there. But what I tried to impart to the young people is this matter of walking with the Lord, but knowing the Scriptures, so that as we ponder our ways, if we could do it that way, but really we want to use the Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So as we go about life's journey, we're not just bouncing off of one bad choice after another. We're not bouncing off of one habit or another that leads to an instinct, and we just naturally have an attitude problem. We just naturally say what it is we want to say. I was on the phone with somebody this week and just said to that individual, I really think probably you ought to just pause and let the Lord take care of some things. And as that person, I think, just enjoys being in the know and doing this and doing that and doing the other. And when the truth is that God is the one who can orchestrate our movements. And when we need protection, he can provide that. When we need wisdom, he can provide that. But then when it's recorded for us in the Word, and as Solomon said to his son and to us, these four things, make sure that you have them close to heart and close to mind. And that's wisdom. Don't sell it. Don't give it away. Don't let anything detract from it. But have wisdom. And with your wisdom, have understanding and knowledge and discretion. So what that brings me to very quickly tonight, and we'll go to prayer here in just a little bit, but what that brings me to is reminding Randy Bray that I need to be in God's Word every day. Now, may I ask you how you do that? How is it you're in God's Word? Do you have a systematic way of going through the Word of God, of feeding from the Word of God? I'm glad you asked. Okay, someone might say. So now, let's do this just for a moment. We won't take long, but take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please. Would you go with me to the book of Philippians? It's Psalms, Proverbs, Philippians. There we go. All right. All right, you there? Philippians chapter 1. I didn't say what chapter, did I? And of course, this is a glorious chapter with so many Bible principles. But what I'd like us to do is just pause long enough tonight to say, okay, let's just have devotions together for a moment. Let's just do that. Let's just pause and whether you do that, you have your own system. I have my system. I'm reading through the Bible. I'm in Numbers right now. But you may not have a system that just is something that you do on a regular basis. So let me encourage you to do it. So here's what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask you to be hungry. Okay? Now, this is just a brief Bible study. We're going to go to prayer here in about 10 minutes. But we're going to have a brief Bible study. But I want you to come to this like it's whatever time in the morning you get up. And if you don't get up early enough to have a time with the Lord, let me encourage you to do that. Ask the Lord. Here's what I had to do. I'm not a morning person. I can stay up late at night and enjoy every minute of it. I could stay up until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, as long as I can sleep in to 10 or 11 in the morning. All right? But I enjoy staying up at night. Getting up early has never been easy for me. But years ago, I struggled in getting up and having that appointment with the Lord, having that time with the Lord. And the Bible talks about early in the morning. And so I finally just got frustrated with Randy Bray, and I came to the Lord and said, Lord, I need an appointment. I keep appointments. If I have an appointment with a business, if I have an appointment with an employee, if I have an appointment with whomever, I keep my appointments. So, Lord, I'm asking you to give me a time. I'm hoping it's 10 o'clock. I'm hoping it's maybe 9 or if I have to work about 9, 8 or 8:30 or 7. I said, Lord, I need, and Lord, let it be like this. Let it be like a pill that goes halfway down. You ever get a pill and you try to swallow it and it doesn't go all the way down and it won't come up? And you try to get it down and it won't go down. And you drink 14 gallons of water and it still seems to stick in there. How many know what I'm talking about, all right? A lot of times when I'm looking for the will of God, I ask the Lord to help that to happen to me. Not by way of a pill, but by way of I can't get away from it. I just can't get away from it. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, give me a time. And He did. It was earlier than I had anticipated or even would have preferred. And I thought it was an impossibility. I did. I just thought, there is no way. There is no way. I didn't even know there was one of those in the world. You know, there's just no way. And I had to struggle with it. I did. I struggled with it. Until I realized I was struggling, not wanting to have an appointment with my Heavenly Father. Now that, I don't use the word dumb very often, but that's dumb. Dumb is the absence of ability. Okay? You can't do it. I mean, that's a no-brainer that whatever the Lord says, and so the Lord dealt with me about a certain hour, and so I changed my perspective of it, and from that point on, I said, okay, Lord, that's my appointment with you. And I struggled with it just being sleepy and whatever for a little bit, and then a little bit less, and then it was a little bit less, and a little bit less. And I still set my alarm for it, but I oftentimes, not every day, but oftentimes, I wake up just before then, just long enough to see, oh, no, I can't go back to bed. It's time. And it's a divine appointment. So all that to say this, you don't have to do it like I do it, but the point is you need to have a time in the Word of God. Amen? And most of you probably do. But let's do it as a congregation here. And I'm going to ask you, let's say I get up at 8 in the morning, all right? Let's say I get up at 8 in the morning. And that's the divine appointment God has for me. Let's say it is. It's not, but let's say it is. All right, let's say it is 7:50. And the alarm goes, no, 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 no. Okay, alarm goes off. And you hit it, and you're just ready to get up. And then you go in and you get your coffee or whatever it is you drink or whatever. It'll kind of wake you up. And so you come to the text. You know where you're going to be because you were there yesterday and maybe earlier, later that evening. And so you come and you say, Lord, I'm about to study thy word. I'm hungry this morning. I'm hungry to feed from thy word. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to start with verse 21 just to give us it says, for to me to live is what? Or to whom? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So that's where we're going to just start, just to kind of get our feet wet with what we're going to do in this text. But then we're going to go from verse 21, and we're going to go to verse 26, and we're going to read through the rest of the chapter. Okay? All right? How many of you just woke up? just about 5 minutes ago. You're supposed to go along with me there. All right. So it's early in the morning. We're about to have devotions. And here's what I want you to do. I want you, in this 5 or 6 verses, and it won't work for everyone, but I want you to look at it and say, I'm hungry. I'm really, really hungry. It's actually Wednesday night, and I'm going to be pillowing my head tonight when I go to sleep. Wouldn't it be nice to have some dessert, so to speak, just before I retire for the evening? Wouldn't it be nice just to meditate as I hit my head on the pillow and I say goodnight to my loved ones, and I pillow my head, and as I'm going off to sleep, it's not counting sheep. It is just saying, goodnight, Father. Thank you for a wonderful day. Oh, it's been wonderful. Lord Jesus, I love you. And by the way, Father, thank you for putting Philippians chapter 1 in. And tonight we did kind of an odd study for just a moment. And it was good. Not because it was different or anything like that, but embedded in these verses is something that was rich to my heart. Okay? So let's just see how it goes. And I'm not asking you to manufacture anything. I'm just asking you, go at it hungry, as though you just got up. It's early in the morning and you want this to carry you through the day. All right? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the passage and I'll go at kind of a slow clip. But if you'll follow with me, then we're going to take about 2 minutes and just see what of quiet. And then we're going to take about 5 minutes of saying, okay, this is what God, boy, this guy, God gave this to me tonight. And it was wonderful, all right? So I'm going to read it in a little bit of a slower clip. Verse 27. Well, let's go to 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation, that has the idea of lifestyle, only let your conversation be as it becometh. It is fitting for the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that ye, here we go, stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, to whom is Paul writing here? Is he writing to Timothy? Okay, to whom is he writing? Help me out real quickly. The church at Philippi, the Philippians. So he's writing to a congregation just like we are, all right? So he says, here are these 5 things that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, you're firm in your conviction, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together, working together for the faith of the gospel. And with all that going on, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You don't have to be intimidated by them. Which is to them an evident token of perdition. The fact that your adversaries of God and, well, I guess I'm giving commentary, aren't I? But adversary, which is to be an evident token of perdition. That's what they are all about, is things that are hellish. Okay? Hell, the things that are normal in hell. He's saying that this is a token, an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. All right? All right. Go after it. Get that pill. Ask the Lord to put it right in the middle of, oh, this is good and I can't get away from it. This is good. All right, I'll be quiet for just about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll see if you got something from the Word tonight. Okay, about 30 seconds. Okay, all right. Now, this is, you're not usurping or you're not taking authority of the ministry here or teaching men or anything, ladies, but you can certainly give a testimony if the Lord's shown you something, all right? Now, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail, so if just in a capsule form, say, you know what? As I was reading these, boy, that's rich. That is good, all right? So what is it? How many have actually found something that was a blessing to them as they went through it? How many? All right, there's several. All right, so we're going to have to, there's probably about 10, so we're going to have to do them quickly, all right? So let's start over here with Brother Chris, all right? And we'll just work our way up this side, and then we'll work our way down that side, okay? So Brother Chris, if you'll tell us what verse and what was it that just reached out to you, and you can pillow your head tonight saying, to God be the glory.
Verse 28.
Okay. What does it say?
Did nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation.
Okay. And how did the Lord use that in your life tonight?
A lot of times I'm a little backward. Not because I'm afraid, but because I'm intimidated. And I don't have to be.
Amen. That's right.
I have the power of God.
That's exactly right.
I have His promises and I have His salvation.
Now that's quality stuff. Amen. Wow. You can pull your head in that and wake up in the morning on that.
I don't have to be afraid of it.
That's exactly right.
Or intimidated.
That's exactly right. And you're going to want to be. The temptation's going to be there, but you come back to the Word and say, wait a minute. And 1 John says, there's no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear, for fear hath torment. Praise the Lord, all right? Someone else coming up in front of him. Anybody else on this row? Brother Mills, did you have your hand up? All right, Brother Mills.
I was just kind of concentrating on verse 27.
Okay, 27.
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand in one spirit,
yes,
in one mind, and striving together for the faith. So to have that conversation that the Lord wants us, there has to, you know, throughout Scripture he talks about having unity of the faith. And that's just, again, telling us through
Amen.
Unity, our lives will speak. And I think of our church here, and I think, wow,
if absolutely,
a unified body will impact the community.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exactly right. All right, was there anyone else on this side? Yes, sir, Brother Travis.
Before we came, we were talking about taking a stand for the Lord and suffering.
Yes.
And that's just reassured us.
Amen.
That the Lord was in it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad the Lord sent them this way? Amen. You can pillow your head on that, too. This is good. All right, let's start over here from the front. Anyone over here? Okay, Brother Jesse, right there.
Yeah, I was just, it's a horse pill, but I'll be quick. I was just thinking of the context there dealing with afflictions, and I often think it's part of my job in the world is dealing with difficulties and everything that goes wrong. So I deal with a lot of affliction. There's a lot of stress, a lot of liability, and I think about that with the Christian life, what's given to us in this chapter. And that is that a lot of these pressures change the way people behave.
Yes, they do.
And the way and the reason that they change the way they behave, myself included, is if they give in to these pressures.
That's right.
And don't do it for the Lord's sake.
That's right.
Which is in verse 29. All of this suffering, these afflictions, things that come into our lives, whether expected or unexpected, are to keep us, kind of what we talked about last week, being on this path. There's only one right path. Plenty of wrong paths.
Yes.
And if there's a selfish agenda or there's anything other than, and it contributes to what Brother Mills was saying about unity, if it's not the unity of the faith, there are plenty
That's
of
right.
things to unite behind. But if we don't do it for the Lord's sake, then it won't have the blessing it needs to. There, we'll lose our purpose. We may do things of our own drive and ambition, but it's going to run out of steam.
That's exactly
It
right.
will not run out of steam, if I can put it that way respectfully, if it is for the Lord's sake.
That's right. Amen. Good, good, good. All right. Anyone else from over here? Anyone else? I thought I saw a half dozen hands over here. Okay, right there.
I guess there's two things. they've already been spoken about, but 27 and 29, that we really need to be one in the Spirit as a body of Christ, and only when we are can the Lord be honored and glorified.
Yes.
And then when we are, and there's persecution that will come to us in any form, then we can stand strong.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. Excellent. I think I saw one more, at least. Was there any others? Any others? All right. So we invested about, what, 5 minutes on that? And I'm not saying that you can have your devotions in 5 minutes. What I wanted to do is, if any struggle with that, because in Proverbs chapters 1, 2, 3, and 5, it gives us those same things, one after another, of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge, and of discretion, or developing discernment. And if we get far removed from that, because we're not in the Word of God, feeding and coming hungry in the morning, our wisdom is going to vanish. It's just going to dissipate. It's going to go away because the cares of life, it's going to usurp that place. It's going to take its place and say, well, pay attention over here and pay attention. But if the priority of our day is to spend time before the Lord in His Word and in prayer, and then the rest of the day is the outworkings of that. It's the okay, Lord, thank you. I was hungry this morning and you fed me and it's kept me all through the day. What a blessing it is. Now, some read it and, well, it was okay. It was good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. But I didn't have something that just really leaped out. That's the point, is that sometimes you're going to find that in the first or second verse. It may take the first or second chapter or third. You may run out of time, but stay hungry and say, Lord, I've got to go to work. I've got to do this. I've got to go. And I haven't found it yet. But as soon as I can, at a break or whatever I can, I'm going to come back to your word because I'm still hungry, Lord. If you will operate in that fashion, you're going to find your wisdom increasing, your knowledge of God's will increasing, your understanding of what God was doing when He put these statutes and ordinances and commandments and prohibitions and permissions and callings and everything that's in the will of God for us to do or not to do. We'll have the understandings. That's why God does that. And then we'll have the discernment of saying, is this the right time, at the right place, for the right reason, that I do this thing? Is it the right thing? Moral uprightness, otherwise known as virtue. What is it God wants me to do? Well, tonight's been a little different, but yet one and the same, and that is taking Proverbs and saying, Lord, show me, please. I need wisdom for my life. I need it. Understanding, Lord, some things are happening, and I need a double dose of understanding, discretion, and knowledge. I trust that you will.